O disciple, it is difficult to maintain the discipleship. O sika siki de da nibbana okaye. This is Sanchi's Bhajan, O Sika, on page 79. One has to give up I and mine. One has to give the gift of his head. It is easy to keep the name of disciple, but it is difficult to maintain the discipleship. First, one has to wash the dirt from within. Then one has to weep in the remembrance of the beloved ones. One has to sigh cold sighs. O disciple, it is difficult to maintain the discipleship. He who wants to meet the beloved earns the love with the true heart. This is a very good opportunity to meet God. One has to die while living in this world. One has to give up happiness and climb the cross. From the outside, it is very easy to be called a servant or disciple, but it is very difficult to maintain the discipleship. If the disciple is independent of the passions and pleasures of the world, within him will be the kingdom of Kirpal. Ajabe says, then it is very easy to go to the court of the Lord. O disciple, it is difficult to maintain the discipleship.
Sika siki da nibbana o kae o sika siki da nibbana o kae o sika siki da nibbana o kae o sika siki da nibbana o kae me meri hatoni pendie beta sira di charoni pendie me meri hatoni pendie beta sira di charoni pendie sika namarakona sokae sika siki da nibbana o kae o sika siki da nibbana o kae pela andaro melenu dona pave vera sone di arvice rona pave pela andaro melenu dona pave vera sone di adviche rona pavi tanda barna penda ho kae sika siki da nibbana ho kae o sika siki da nibbana o kae cho pianu milena cha honda e sace dilito prema kamonda e Jopia nu milena cha honda e sace dilito prema kamonda e son araba melaneda mokae sika sikida nebona o kae o sika sikida nebona o kae Jion dehi jagate marana pave sukha chadake sulite charana pave Jion dehi jagate marana pave Suke charike sulite charina pave baro sevaka sadhona sokae sika sikida nibbona o kae o sika Sikita nebona ho kai je vishya to sika ajad hove andar guru kirpal da raja hove je vishya to sika ajad hove andar guru kirpal da raja hove ajaib darika che jana fir sokae sika sikita nibbona O kae o sika sikida nibbona o kae.
One has to die while living in this world. One has to give up happiness and climb the cross. From the outside, it is very easy to be called a servant or disciple, but it is very difficult to maintain the discipleship. If the disciple is independent of the passions and pleasures of the world, within him will be the kingdom of Kirpal. Ajaib says, then it is very easy to go in the court of the Lord. 1 month from now, there will be a one-day meditation retreat celebrating the founding of Santbani Ashram, the first visit of Master Kirpal Singh Ji, which was on October 11th, 1963. The retreat will be all day, Saturday, October 14th. Initiates are welcome to attend any of the meditation sittings, and there are schedules of the satsang and meditation times available at the book table. Local initiates who plan to participate and who will take meals at the ashram are asked to please let us know so that we have some idea of how many dear ones we will be cooking for. Any guests wishing to attend who need overnight accommodations are asked to please let the ashram know well ahead of time. The first reading today is continuing Baba Sawan Singh's letters, early letters to his disciples from the book Spiritual Gems, from the second part. This is letter number 3. It is only by great good luck that you meet the saints. I will tell you my own story. If now and then we have the good fortune to come across such people, then we do not believe what they say. Before Babaji came here to Bayas, I am told that there used to be an apparently half-witted fellow, but really a very spiritual person, a mastana, and he would often pick up bricks from far and near and make them into small heaps at the place where the Dera is now situated. He was called Kanhom, the half-witted. If people asked him what he was busying himself with, he would stop and say, "This will be a flourishing place. Splendid houses will be built here. It will be populated just like a city." In those days, there was absolutely nothing here, no buildings of any kind. It was just all wasteland and desert. When Maharaji Baba Jamal Singh took his abode here, there was only one very small mud hut, 8 feet by 8 feet. When I stood in it, I could touch the roof with my hand. The story of our Babaji is also wonderful. Sometimes I used to ask him very childish questions, but he was never annoyed and he always answered most kindly. When Babaji's regiment was ordered to the frontier district, while there, he would at night go out into the open and dig a small pit in the sandy soil. With his rifle tucked behind his knees, he would sit there in meditation the whole night. In the morning, the enemy, the Pathans, would be found sitting around him. As he would get up to leave for his regiment, they would pay him respect and obeisance. Nobody would disturb him, and they would say among themselves, "He is a fakir. We should not touch him." If there were 3 or 4 holidays, he would devote all of them to bhajan. He also taught Gurmukhi to the colonel of his regiment. He retired on a pension after 34 years of service, and he remained at Dera Bayas for 14 years, passing away on December 29, 1903. Letter 4. I was fond of satsang and parmart, or spiritual topics, from my childhood. I often associated with sadhus and religious people, partly because my father was fond of sadhu seva. Then, while in service, I read Vedant and I discussed Vedant with people, especially with the sadhus, who were on their way to Kashmir and stopped at the Dharamsala near my house. Later, I was transferred to Murray Hills. One day, as I was supervising my work, I saw an old Sikh going up a hill along with a middle-aged lady. When I noticed him, I thought he had probably come in connection with some case in the commissioner's court. Little did I think that he was to be my master. He was no other than Babaji himself, and the lady was Bibi Ruko. This I did not know at the time, but I found out later that Babaji said to Bibi Ruko, referring to me, "It is for his sake that we have come here." To which Bibi Ruko replied, "But he has not even greeted you." Babaji said to her, "What does the poor fellow know yet? On the 4th day, he will come to us." Babaji went to the Dharamsala and started satsang from the Granth Sahib, Babu Sukhdayal. And Babu Sukhdayal, my friend, came to me and told me of the novel explanations of the teaching of Granth Sahib, which were given out by a sadhu who recently arrived at the Dharamsala. I was ready to accept the truth from anyone, and so we went together to listen to the satsang. In 3 or 4 days, my doubts were resolved, and I got satisfactory explanations to the various questions which I used to take with me. At last, I asked for initiation, but I requested that I might not be told to accept the name of Radhaswami, as I had never heard of it prior to this. Babaji said to me, "Radhaswami implies the highest spiritual power. What objection have you to the name of Radhaswami?" I said, "It does not appeal to me." Then he asked, How many new names of the one God are mentioned in the Japsab?" I replied, "Some 1,200 or 1,400. Then Babaji said, "If you do not object to those names, why do you object to the name of Radhaswami?" Thus, my doubts being resolved, I got initiation. At Murray Hills, my house faced Mojpuri, a place of Hindu pilgrimage. One day when Babaji was visiting me, I pointed in that direction and I said, "Look, sir, what beautiful scenery." Babaji laughed and said, "I have seen it," implying that he had seen it long ago. I asked, "Was your regiment ever posted there?" And he replied, "My child, you do not understand these things. We saw this place at a time when these hills and valleys had not yet been formed." Babaji used to be very kind to me, and whenever I came to visit him, he would give me a place in his own room. Once I got down from the Bayas station at 12 o'clock noon. It was very hot, and I sat down under a tree for a while. Then I felt I had come for Babaji's darshan, yet here I was seeking comfort and delaying that meeting with the beloved. Even worldly lovers have done much better. The thought troubled me, so I started on foot from the railway station to the Dera. At the Dera, Babaji Maharaj, who was very sensitive to heat, came out and began to pace the open courtyard before his room. Bibi Ruko remonstrated and requested him to go inside his room and out of the hot sun, but he would not do that. A few minutes before I reached the Dera, he went in, and then Bibi Ruko, seeing me coming, exclaimed, "Oh, now I see why Babaji was walking in the hot sun." He had himself absorbed some of that extreme heat so that I would not be overcome by it on the way. There are so many wonderful things about Babaji that if I go on relating them for 100 years, it would not be possible to finish them all. Letter 5. It is only when you go up and see what happens inside and how things are managed that you really understand these things. But there are some karmas which cannot be wiped off, because if there is too much interference, the deed still stands. Outward love is also not bad, but the real love and devotion can be manifested only when you rise above the 9 doors of the body. Eating sweet things is different from just talking about them, but even talk of sweet things can also be interesting. As long as there is any worldly attachment, it is no use. If you want love and grace, then use all your energy in going up. Such people are not non-existent, but they are few. The soul goes in, and when the flame of love bursts forth within, it goes up immediately, and there is only one way. The inner design is not the result of any human effort, it is the design of God. But the formal religions do not even suspect its existence. Even if they conquered the whole world, would it go with them? Of course not. That true Nam resounds in the sweetest strains in the hearts of all of us. It cannot be written or spoken or read. It is neither Gurmukhi nor Arabic nor Persian nor any other language. It cannot be seen with these eyes, nor heard with these ears. For these eyes are mortal, and in order to function properly, they depend upon some sort of light, such as sun, moon, or electricity. Guru Nanak Sahib says, "These eyes are different with which you can see the Lord, your mother and father. You speak without the tongue, and thus you die in life. And there is no language. If there is no language, then there is no room for any Vedas, Shastras, or any other scriptures. That is to say, when one dies in life, then he contacts the true Nam. This means when one consciously leaves this house of 9 doors and contacts Gurbani or Shabda, that is the true Nam, and it is not the monopoly of any religion. The real form of the Guru, or the essence of Guru, is Shabd. Only those people who are extremely fortunate get the opportunity to follow the practice of Shabd. When they enjoy it thoroughly, then lust, anger, etc. are all destroyed. When you control your mind and senses, you enjoy Shabd all the more. Then one has attained salvation in this very life. Not until you love the Shabd will there be an end to your coming and going. Now, this is a universal law and is for everyone without exception. The trouble is that people do not know what Satguru Seva is. They think spending wealth or spending money in some good cause is Seva. Those who have been able to go in and enjoy the Shabd are true satsangis, and they have made full use of their lives. This is the real Satguru Seva, and this is not the exclusive teaching of Guru Nanak Sahib, but the Mohammedan saint also say the same thing. Dadu and Paltu, and in fact, all those Mahatmas who have reached Sachkhand, they all say the same thing. Every jiva, according to his karmas, is given another birth in some other place. The body in which he has to be put is ready. The body in which he has to be born, and the interval between death and rebirth, both these depend upon his karmas. 7. Master showered his grace when he initiated you. Now your duty is to practice concentration and go up. Then love will come automatically. A loving disciple will not be left in the lurch. For example, if a child gets dirty, the mother washes and bathes it, and then again takes the child into her lap. In the same way, a satguru, after cleansing the disciple of the effects of his bad karmas and making him pure, takes him up. Whatever we do in this world, we do according to the dictates of the mind, whether it is eating, drinking, seeing friends, entering into new relationships, all these things are of the mind. In fact, the world does not worship God, but worships the mind because it obeys the dictates of the mind only. 8. Many people practice Simran, but all credit and all glory to him who practices Simran without any desire. If one has not gone up and opened the door, then he's no better than an animal. When we are attending our daily duties, our mind is usually not occupied with them, but is wandering. The saints say, hold the reins of the mind tight in your hand throughout the day, and then when you sit in bhajan, concentration will be quick and easy. It is easier to concentrate the mind by Simran than by any other practice. Saints do not waste even a single minute, but they keep their attention fixed either in Simran or in Dhyan or in the Dhun. Simran collects and concentrates the mind and the soul. Dhyan helps to keep it at one place, and Dhun or Shabd pulls it up. Do not let the mind remain idle. When we go up into higher regions, the mind keeps back. But when we return, it joins us again on the way back to the body. When you begin to enjoy Simran, the mind will not go out again. That can be answered by the following illustration. Moses, thinking that he was a great devotee and lover of God, requested God to bring him in contact with or point out to him a greater and better lover of God than himself. And God pointed to a bird upon a tree not far from the place. When Moses approached the bird and asked if there was anything that it wanted or that he could do for it, the bird replied that it was perfectly satisfied and it was happy, except for one thing. Moses asked, well, what is that? The bird said that it wished it did not have to leave its perch to go for water. Moses was astonished at this and pointed out that the bird was perched on a tree immediately above the water, and all it had to do was to fly down a few feet to take a drink. The bird replied, well, that is true, but I am always thinking of God, and the time spent in flying down and taking a drink takes me away from the contemplation of my love even for a few minutes, and that is my only regret. Upon hearing this, Moses felt ashamed and realized that this bird loved God more than he did. And we've been reading in Master Kripal Singh's book, the Japji, his translation of the basic scripture written by Guru Nanak. Master translated it and commented on it. I'm actually going to read just a very short section here today and then read something from Sanchi. Stanza 6. If I may only please him, 'tis pilgrimage enough. If not, nothing, no rites or toils avails. Whichever way I look, I find that in his creation, none has won salvation without his grace, regardless of karmas. You can discover untold riches within yourself if you but abide by the teachings of your master. My master has taught me one lesson. He is the Lord of everything. May I never forget him. Master writes, through certain yogic practices, one can prolong one's life and master superhuman and miraculous powers. But, says Guru Nanak, these do not necessarily win God's goodwill, without which all is vanity. In fact, in a later stanza, number 29, Nanak unequivocally states that such supernatural powers more often than not become hindrances in the way of full realization of God. Stanza 7. If one could extend one's life to four ages, nay, make it 10 times longer, if one were known throughout the 9 planes of creation, and everyone therein followed him in respect, if every creature praised him to the sky, all this and more has no value if God's eye looked not kindly upon him. Without his goodwill, he will be reckoned as the meanest worm amongst worms, and sinners shall charge him with sins. O Nanak, he bestows virtues on those who have none and adds to the store of the virtuous, but there is naught that can bestow aught upon him. Nanak, after a brief digression, stanza 7, resumes the theme of the secrets of spirituality. Having already told us that at one with God is made possible by making his will as our own, this in turn by communion with the Word, whose secret is revealed by a living master. He now explains the fruit of such communion. One rises above physical consciousness and comes into cosmic awareness. One achieves the status of a true saint, and the mystery of creation stands revealed. Kabir also makes the same statement. When you transcend into the beyond, a subtle voice is heard, and this voice only a Brahm Gyani can hear. This inner voice, heard in moments of concentrated meditation, is not to be confused, as has often been done, with the voice of conscience. Our conscience is nothing more than the sum of our past actions, passing judgment upon our present ones. As such, it varies from person to person. But the inner voice of true meditation is something universal, something that does not change, but is the same for all. The next 3 stanzas, 9, 10, and 11, carry on the theme of the fruit of communion with the Word, which makes possible all kinds of attainment, material, intellectual, and spiritual, leading ultimately to the Godhead. Stanza 8. By communion with the Word, one can attain the status of a siddha, a peer, a sura, or a nat. By communion with the Word, one can understand the mysteries of the earth, the supporting bull, and the heavens. By communion with the Word, the earthly regions, the heavenly plateau, and the nether world stand revealed. By communion with the Word, we can escape unscathed through the portals of death. O Nanak, his devotees live in perpetual ecstasy, for the Word washes away all sin and sorrow. stanza 9. By communion with the word, one can attain the powers of Shiva, Brahma, and Indra. By communion with the word, one can esteem from all, win esteem from all, irrespective of one's past. By communion with the word, one can have yogic insight with the mysteries of life and self all revealed. By communion with the word, one can acquire the true import of the Shastras, the Smritis, and the Vedas. O Nanak, his devotees live in perpetual ecstasy, for the word washes away all sin and sorrow. Stanza 10. By communion with the word, one becomes the abode of truth, contentment, and true knowledge. By communion with the word, one gets the fruit of ablution at 68 pilgrimages. By communion with the word, one wins the honor of the learned. By communion with the word, one attains the state of sahaj. O Nanak, his devotees live in perpetual ecstasy, for the word washes away all sin and sorrow. 11. By communion with the word, one becomes the abode of all virtues. By communion with the word, one becomes a sheikh, a peer, and a true spiritual king. By communion with the word, the spiritually blind find their way to realization. By communion with the word, one crosses beyond the limitless ocean of illusionary matter. O Nanak, his devotees live in perpetual ecstasy, for the word washes away all sin and sorrow. And because we started to hear the morning talks of Kirpal Singh last Sunday, and we will hear the first one, and it's a new recording because the dear ones at the ashram were able to find some clearer versions, I think, on Ruhani Satsang website, so it will be clearer than last week's. But because we're hearing Kirpal Singh and not Sanchi, I wanted to read something from Sanchi. I very much appreciated Fletcher's reading of Sanchi's hymn to Kirpal last week, and I thought about reading another bhajan, the last bhajan that Sanchi wrote. And in doing so, I thought it would be good to read this question and answer talk that Sanchi gave on the 21st of March, 1997. And I may have said this before, but this question that gets asked, and he spends the whole session answering this question, was actually a question that Sanchi requested be asked and approved of its being asked prior to the question and answer session. So this was in Sampla, and this was the last group of South Americans and English-speaking mixed group that was able to visit there in March 1997. Salutations under the feet of Supreme Fathers, Almighty Lord Sawan and Kirpal, who have mercy upon the poor souls, showering their grace upon the poor souls, and have given the gift of their devotion and allowed the opportunity to do their devotion and also to sing their glory. Beloved Sanchli, recently there have been a number of messages with references like the hawk of death may snatch us at any moment, or we may not get this precious opportunity again. Many disciples understand from this that you are trying to awaken us so that we may really begin to do the devotion through spending more time in remembrance and through keeping the diaries to improve our lives. Others, however, have gotten very worried that this means you are leaving soon. They announce that, and then rumors begin to fly all around the world. Still others talk about how we, the disciples, can or should take on part of your suffering so that you may be relieved. Would you care to comment as to what would be the correct, loving, respectful, and helpful attitude as regards all of this? Well, it is a very good question. The reality is that all the saints have said such things, keeping that feeling in front of them. And I have also said these things, keeping the same feeling which the earlier saints had in front of them. Dear children, I have not come here to tell you anything new. You know that Guru Tegh Bahadur said that when we are a child, gradually that childhood goes away. And when we become adolescents, then at that time, if for a moment we think that we could get our childhood back, we can only think about that. But once we have lost our childhood, it does not come back to us. In the same way, when we get to old age, when we have become older, then if we think that we should become young again, become adolescents once again, it is not possible, because once you lose that state, then you do not get it back. Guru Tegh Bahadur has said, childhood, adolescence, and old age. Do not understand any of these things as the reality. Guru Nanak says you should understand and accept the reality. Guru Tegh Bahadur said, Rama was the incarnate of Brahma, and even he did not live in this world forever. Ravana, who had progressed very much in science, and also it is said he had a very big family, even he did not live here forever. The life in this world is like a dream. When you are having the dream, everything seems to be very real. But when you open your eyes, when you get up from sleep, then nothing is real. It was only a dream. In the same way, life in this world is not real. It is just like a dream of the night. Rama went. Ravana, who had a very big family, went. Nanak says, no one is permanent in this world. The life in this world is like a dream. Guru Arjan Devji Maharaj said, we are the foolish ones, and we have got attached to the illusion. All our life long, we go on doing that work which is imperfect and which cannot be completed. We have forgotten the real work. We have forgotten the real perfect work, which is meeting with God Almighty. Instead, we have become fond of the imperfect and the unreal work. Kabir Sahib says, when the leaf gets cut off from the branch of the tree, the wind blows it away. That particular leaf does not come back and get attached to that same branch. Some people were carrying a coffin. Someone had died, so they were taking him to the cremation ground. So looking at them, Guru Nanak Sahib, in order to awaken the souls, said, awake, 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 O traveler. See that the other traveler is going. Yaksha asked Yudhishthira, what is the most surprising thing in this world? Yudhishthira replied, the most surprising thing in this world is that we see with our own eyes these people leaving this world, and even we ourselves give them our shoulder and take them to the graveyard or the cremation ground. But still, we believe that death is only for those who have died, and it is not coming to us. Sufi Saint Farid Sahib said, I used to believe that I am the only one who was affected by this pain of birth and death. But I did the Simran, given to me by the Master, and with his grace I got above the nine openings of the body. I went to the eye center, and furthermore I went into Parbrahm, and over there also I meditated a lot. And when I went in the Banvar Gupfa, after reaching there I saw that the entire creation, which the Lord Almighty has created, is suffering from this sickness or this disease of birth and death. Is there anyone who is saved from this? If there is anyone who is saved from this, it is Almighty God Himself. Otherwise, everyone has this pain of birth and death. Farid Sahib says, I thought that I only had this pain, but the entire world is suffering from this pain. When I go to the higher planes and look around, I saw. When I got to the higher planes and looked around, I saw that in every house the same fire was burning. He says that a crane was sitting on the bank of the river. He was catching frogs and fish, and he was playing with them. He would take his prey in his beak, and he would throw it upward, and again he would catch it with his beak. He was playing like that when all of a sudden a hawk came there and attacked him. The crane did not know that the hawk was looking at him and that the hawk was going to come. It came without giving any warning. It came all of a sudden. The crane was sitting on the bank of the river, but while he was playing, all of a sudden a hawk came and attacked him. When the hawk of God Almighty attacks us, then all the plays and all the fun which we are having are forgotten. Those who do not remain aware of that hawk which comes to everyone, those who forget this, they always find it very difficult when that hawk attacks them. Dear ones, everyone remembers the materials of the world. And who remembers death? Even if we do not remember death, still when the time comes, death comes and shows us his face. The Lord of death cannot be avoided by any temptations or by any power or ruling or anything like that, and he is very punctual about the time. At the fixed time, he definitely comes to us. The Lord of death comes while the two lamps are still burning. He extinguishes both the lamps, and he takes over the fort of the body. The person who is about to die sees with his own eyes that the Lord of death has come, because he can see him coming. When he extinguishes both the lamps, when he closes both the eyes, and when he takes the soul out of the body, at that time nobody can see him doing that. So the people who are sitting around us, our relatives, our friends, they cannot help us. How can they help us when they do not know what is happening? The Lord of death is seen only by the person for whom the Lord of death has come. The people sitting around him cannot do anything but weep and cry after the person dies. Dear ones, the kings in India were very powerful. They were very strong. And I had the opportunity of witnessing the death of three kings with my own eyes. I'm not saying this from hearsay. I have seen this with my own eyes. They had hundreds of guards around them, but no one could say from which direction the Lord of Death came and took those kings away. We ourselves took them to the cremation grounds and reduced them to a handful of ashes. The state of Kapurthala used to be called as the Paris of India, and when the king of Kapurthala died, I myself took him to the cremation ground. It was very beautiful. It had a very beautiful, so many beautiful trees all around, and at that place we reduced him to a handful of ashes. I myself sang this bhajan written by Ravidas, which says, "A day comes when a person comes into this world, and a day comes when he leaves this world. No one lives in this world forever. No one is permanent here." A couple of years ago, when we were coming back from Kula Manali, on the way back, I showed Gurmail all those places where I had been, the school and the palaces of the kings where I was working with him. And I showed him the cremation ground and even the palace where the kings used to be. And now there is no one there. No one to even look after that place. And I even showed him the cremation ground where those kings were cremated. Kabir says, "Kal is such a mighty one that even though you may have warriors standing by your side, but still he would take you out from among them, and they would just stand there repenting. All the salutes and homage which we offer to the person who has departed is only for showing off to the people. It is only for the name's sake. Because we do not know what that Lord of death is doing with that soul. Well, my master, my beloved Gurudev, told me, 'Look here, we have not come to live in this world forever. The time which has passed will not come back.' Even in the bhajan you read, 'The time which has passed does not come back.' This is what Kirpal makes Ajayb understand. Dear ones, only those who have not seen death are afraid of death. Those who have not seen death, if you even mention death in front of them, they get nervous, they get perturbed, and they say, 'Don't talk about death in front of me.' Saints do not die. They return to their home. Of course the body dies, and the body takes birth. But the power which works within the body of the saints is neither born nor does it die. It neither comes nor goes. Do you understand that beloved Kripal or Master Sawan are dead? They are still living. They lived in the past, and even thousands of years ago they lived, and they will live in the future also. They give life to hundreds of thousands of people. They give life to millions of people. end. They always live. Guru Nanak Sahib says that God Almighty is immovable, he is indestructible, and those who mingle in him also become indestructible like God Almighty is. All the saints who come into this world awaken us. Awaken us, the ones who are sleeping in the deep sleep of attachment. They come to awaken us, and they tell us, you should do the work for which you have come into this world. You have not come here to live forever. You are like a traveler, and this is an opportunity which you have been given to do the devotion. So you should get up, and you should do your devotion. Dear ones, I can give you many more examples. I can give you more quotes of many different saints. All the saints have talked about death. They have even said, we do not know when the bell of death may ring. Now, coming to those people who make the prophecies and who talk about this, first of all, I would like to thank those dear ones, those people who had concern for my health, and those who showed their sympathy towards my health. But, dear children, even the small children would think twice before saying things like this. Those who talk about my leaving. Those who talk about my leaving, do they think that they will live in this world forever? Do they think that they will not leave this world? How do they know if they will go after me or before me? Dear children, if a satsangi can carry his own burden, that is more than enough for him. Those who say they are carrying the burden of the saint, that they are sharing the sufferings of the master, they are in the great mistake. Dear ones, I can tell you this thing for sure, that such people are hungry for name and fame, and only so that people may praise them do they make such statements and say such things to the people in the Sangat. With the grace of God Sawan and with the grace of God Kirpal, I saw in my within both of them as great gods, and even outwardly also I saw them as God, and I never saw or heard either of them making any prophecy or saying anything about any other person leaving. He will leave at this time or he will leave at that time. Nor did they talk about their own leaving. In fact, Master Sawan Singh used to say those who make the prophecies or those who say those kind of things, they do that only for the fact that they are craving for name and fame, only so that other people may come and praise them. And he used to say that we should never believe in such prophecies because it is the mean people who make the prophecies. Maharaj Kirpal had given the program of satsangs in various countries, and I know at least about Ghana that he had made the program to go there, but he left the tour and he came back to India. And he did not make any prophecy. He did not tell the people that he was going to leave soon. Many times in the satsangs I have said that whatever pain and happiness, whatever comforts or discomforts, come to the masters in the will of the Lord. They always accept them. They do not make any excuses in going through the sufferings. They do not say, but, and they do not say, why. They always accept them gladly and lovingly, even if they are going to meet with an accident, or even if they are going to lose a lot after getting up from one place, even if they know that, still, they do not avoid that time. They always live in the will of God, in the will of God Almighty, and they teach us the same thing. The Master lives in the will of God, and we should live in the will of the Master. Dear ones, just imagine that if the Masters were to give such hints, or were to make such prophecies about leaving and all that. There are many dear ones, those who go within and who have been blessed by the Master with unbreakable love for the Master. So if the Masters were to make such prophecies, or if they were to give such hints, do you think that those dear ones will live? They will die just thinking about it. They will die from the grief of it. When Master Sawan Singh Ji left the body, many people got the experience that he was going to leave before he died, and about 200 people ended their life from grief. Somebody jumped in the well. Somebody jumped in the river. So Master Kirpal did not let anyone know that he was leaving. Not even Taiji, who used to cook food for him, knew that he was going to leave. She was under this illusion that Now, Master, is perfectly all right. Dear ones, not everyone in the Sangat is like a jackal. There are some tigers also. It is not the case that everyone who comes here or who goes on tour or those who attend the programs, that they just come here and close their eyes and go without receiving anything. There are many dear ones in your Sangat, in your group, who go very far inside and there within, but they do not show it off to the other people outside. They do not talk about all these things. Their humility is very unique, and in fact, you cannot even recognize them, that they are the ones who are going in the within. They do not talk about such things. They do not make such statements. They always remain quiet. They are very humble. Dear ones, whenever I initiate anyone, I put that soul in the Jholi of Lord Kripal and Sawan. They are the only ones who can share my suffering. They are the only ones who can take on my burden. There is no one else who can share my sufferings or who can take on my burden. However, if you would do your bhajan and simran, I will have to carry less karmas. It will surely help me, and my health will remain better. People had asked Master Sawan Singh, it is written in your horoscope that you will live up to 100 years, but it seems like you are preparing to leave now. So Master Sawan Singh said, yes, if you will allow me to work without any disturbance, then I may live up to 100 years. And if you will meditate more, it will help me. Also, if you will not write me letters in which you write about the worldly things, then it is possible that I may live longer. We know that Master Sawan Singh left 10 years early. Similarly, Master Kripal went on saying all this. His life long, meditate, meditate. Do not feed your body until you have fed your soul with the food of meditation. But Master Kripal also left 14 years early. Well, I am very thankful to the dear one who asked this question. It is good that he asked this question. No saint has ever said that we will live in this world forever. All the saints have said, one day we have to leave this world. And we do not know when that moment will come, when we will have to leave this complete world, this full world. Sutra was a very fearless fakir, and he lived a very long time, from the time of Guru Har Gobind until the time of Guru Gobind Singh. He was there. He used to meditate a lot, and he had attained the highest status. He was a perfect being, and we got many humorous things from him. Once it is said that he spent a night in some religious place. Over there, a newlywed couple came to ask for the blessing. You know that when we get married, we often go to the religious places to ask for a blessing. So that newlywed couple went there to seek the blessing. Usually people carry some sweets, some money, or things like that to offer to the deity that they worship. So when they went there, they offered some money on a plate, which Sutra gave to the priest there. And the priest gave that newlywed couple a blessing, saying, may you live for 4 ages. When the couple turned towards Sutra for his blessings, look here, he told the bride, you are going to die. And he told the groom, one day you are also going to die. They got upset, and they said, well, Haya Fakir, why are you doing this? Why are you cursing us? He said, I am telling you the truth. This is what will happen. And for saying the false things, the untrue things, the priest is there, whom we have given the money, and he has given you the false blessings. So, dear ones, one day we all have to leave this world. Everyone has to die. Those people who make the prophecies of other people leaving, they forget that they also have to leave this world. As long as Lord Almighty Kripal will continue showering his grace upon me, and as long as he makes me do the seva for the Sangat, I am very happy serving the Sangat. If you will do your bhajan and simran, then definitely it will help me. I would like to tell you that you should not believe in such prophecies. You should not believe in those people who make such prophecies. You should do more bhajan and simran. This is my only message for all of you. I received a cable at the ashram, a very long cable, and Gurmail read it, and the people there were affected by it. It took me many days to convince them that nothing like that is going to happen. and it had a very bad effect on the Sangat also. So the dear ones should not make such prophecies. They should not talk like this. Instead, they should do more bhajan and simran. As a matter of fact, everyone should always be prepared, because it is always much better to leave when the call comes. At this point, Sanchi said, Acha, and he asked Gurmail and Papu to sing Kripayahi Sandeshadeta. And I want to read the last bhajan that Sanchi wrote, but I want to read before that a really brief section from an account that Papu sent to us right after Sanchi left the body. 4 or 5 days before he left, sorry, this is in the July 1997 Sanpani magazine. 4 or 5 days before he left, Sanchi wrote a bhajan and read it to Bant. In the bhajan, it was very clear that he was leaving, and Bant was worried. She said, well, what is this? And Sanchi said, well, no, it is nothing. I have just written this to quiet those people who make the predictions about my health and about my leaving and all that. He was going to give the bhajan to Gurmail, as he always does, to set the tune for it. And then he told Bant, no, not now. I will give this to you later. And nobody saw that bhajan again, and nobody thought about it. And only after he left, Bant brought that bhajan to me, and it was very clear. Kone kahe me mar jana hai. Who says that I have to die? I have to go to Kirpal's home. Slowly, I have to cross this long and wide ocean. Stupid death, which has come in the way of life, has to die. In the map of life, the color of Sawan has to be filled. I have enjoyed a long life. I don't have to live. I have to go home. The talk of Kirpal will happen, and as much meditation on Nam as is supposed to happen will happen. No one should stop my way. I have to go. Really, I have to go. Send me happily. Send me. I have to go to my own home. Whenever a Jabe will wish, he will empty this cage. And this is the first morning talk of Master Kirpal. These were given at Sawan Ashram in New Delhi in the period from October 1967 through February 1968 and published in the book Morning Talks.
So we were talking about charity yesterday. By giving away something in charity for which you don't need any return, selfless, that becomes fruitful. You simply give to those who are really needy, poor, naked, who have nobody to support, the orphans, the widows, and others. And other those very gentlemen looking, they would shy to beg, but they are sometimes they suicide for want of livelihood. Such like people should be helped.
This is actually appears to be the second talk, Charity and Hard Earnings.
Only give to any particular places. The money is just collected there in thousands, millions. But that money has no use to anybody. They simply grant it. They simply puffed up, we are lords of so many millions of dollars or rupees. But real certainly that is not aware. Already money is there. Why should you contribute there? Why should you share? Let those who share with those who are really needy, naked, depending, looking. Nobody to support. But such like people don't. They feel shy to go and beg. They do come to some spiritual man. So it's better to give him so that he may distribute to the right person. To give money in charity, it is just like amassing money for your own self. Then Guru says, I rejoice when I give something to the mouth of the other. Those mouths are my mouth. Their bellies are my bellies. Such like service only I cherish. All others not. Those are needy, poor, naked. You see, nobody to look after, fortress. Such like charity is what is needed. We need to give us millions and there are so many things. Result is where there's money, there's always a clash. If you want to share, then later on trouble arises. So they are just telling you things. And those who live only, such like charity given by other people, those who have earned by honestly that money, so such like money becomes just like poison, just valuing sugar, covered by sugar. So such like men will have the same effect. They must do put in time for meditation much more. Otherwise they will have to suffer. Suppose if anybody comes to give you a glass of water, a glass of milk, and you have something behind you, you want some compensation for that. You may have no money in your bank, but that is debit against you. So it's always better to learn with one's own livelihood honestly, by dint of hard sweat of brow, you see, and share with others. Not for return, but share. Thinking we are all brothers and sisters in God. All souls are the children of God. God resides in every heart. With that viewpoint, you give brothers, share with others who are really needy. To give away money just to establish places where there were only millions, what would have been? So, that charity bears fruit, really, which is shared with others who are needy, needy, naked and poor. So, that is good, and all the other say like that. He says, when the people put in some in the hungry mouth, that is my mouth. Such like the viewpoint of the really spiritual people, you see. Such like charity bears fruit. Our custom is just to do one. We don't see how that money is spent. Even that money is being spent for the upkeep of only one or two men, a single man. Well, he had to pay for it, mind that. God does not spare anybody. Just earn, live on your own earning and share with others. Only such people get progress in the spiritual life. In that case, they are self-expanding. At the time of giving, you feel little giant, natural. That is the main compensation you have then and there. So generally it is all men should share with others who are needy, naked, who are fortless, orphan, widow, and others, such people who have nobody to support, nobody to look after, or in some noble purpose, just to enable them, give them facilities to sit together and just find a way to God. So such like charity is what is advocated, you see, by all saints. First, we should earn our livelihood honestly. First, then share with others, maybe the least. Yesterday I was telling you that generally one tenth is prescribed from the time as it is taught, you see, from the old Tertullians and others, all historians and others. Abraham died too. So if that is not possible, give 1/20, 1/30, 1/40, maybe a single pence. But you should have that angle of vision to share with others. Whatever he can. A man wants, say, $1 a month. If he gives a 1 pence, well, that is worth more than a man who wants thousands and gives $5. So masters never object to receive even 1 pence. They never reject. And for that, regular account is kept. That is audited. Company audited there annually. And the master himself is on his own account. Such like people only can advance on this spiritual way. People make it a business. That's a good way of earning money, I tell you. And then 1,000 you can have without any labor. But that one has to just bear it as a reaction of what he has done, then he flies. So general rule, earn your livelihood honestly, by honest means, in which nobody's blood is squeezed, nobody undue things have been usurped by you. One thing, if God sees what you're doing. The other thing, that should also be to maintain yourself and share with others. Like an example, you're going in a rowing in a boat, and the water is just some hole in the boat, and the water is just filling in the boat. What is the wise way out? Throw the water with two hands outside, otherwise you drown yourself. You got money more than what you really require for your own maintenance, then just share with others. Otherwise you will be doomed. So by giving away, you don't lose. At the end of the year, you see that money will be saved in some other place. Sickness. So many other troubles that arise generally, which involve expenditure. This is what our master used to say. All right, you give away 1/10. At the end of the year, you just count that very money that you've given, that has been saved in the way of you have no sickness. And so many things. You understood? Earn your livelihood in honest way, first of all. That is why I don't accept faith. And given by those who are not educated. Because who knows how they earn the money. Even the initiative they earn by dishonest means, that also carries effect. But then if there's somebody to account for, so ahead. So first thing is you must earn your money by honest means. Then you share, maybe as best as you can, for the good of others. That will expand yourself. That's the minimum to start with. Then you give away more and more and more, unless you give away your own self too. I'm asking you to first give away 1/10. Then he begin more, then he will send all his earning to the master, and he would send something for the livelihood of his family and spend all other. This is ultimate. We have to give away our body, our intellect, our soul, our everything. The more you are divested of all these things, the more you are free. You're near to God. We are interested to show in the life of saints. Well, Christ said, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man. You see? So they said, all right, if you want to follow me, sell away everything to the poor and then come to me. Everything is in India to Christ also and all of us. So we have to give away slowly, bit by bit, unless you give everything to the poor. earn your money honestly and share with others. Begin as best as you can, maybe first, then go on, giving everything. The more your devotee, all this, the more you are fixed with it. Man with a man say $100, the other doctor collected $1,000, saving $1,000, then $1,000,000, so like that goes up, like anything. He doesn't need to share with others. And your money, let your family be supported, then share with others. Even if it needs me, that you live on the minimum things, means required, minimum. You should also learn to share with others. Maybe I say the little thing. This is what we have to learn. This is master give teachings in all phases of life. First practical life, then share with others, then devote time by contacting your soul with the all-pervading power within you. That you may be used to others. Man is only called a man who is of use to others. Other animals are of use for their children. If we do also like that, then what is the difference between man and an animal? So this is what it meant by. So many quotations given from different masters, this and that. All this book was written with the grace of a master. These are to be noted and acted upon. You find change? तो बात समझ गया भाई आज से ही आपकी अर्निंग ऑनेस्ट हो और कुछ शेयर मैं भी एक बार
This is a bhajan of Sanchi's on page 116. Darsha Piyada Pallava. Let me have the darshan of the beloved and remove the separation which is tormenting me day and night. Without your darshan, my soul is empty. My life, worth millions, is going on uselessly. Don't get separated, don't get separated. The true master has been found. The opportunity of life is obtained. Giving up the false rites, come and do the true love now. Oh, the mind still doesn't stop. You have got the human birth. Don't let the time of meditation on Nam go. This life is a priceless ruby. Don't waste it at the rate of shells. Take advantage. Why are you shy? Come and do the satsang. This is the opportunity. Dye yourself in the true color. Now God has made this arrangement. You have got this beautiful time, and time is passing. The nam of the saints has become high. He who meditates on it becomes pure. Looking at the love of Ajayb, Kripal protected him. He comes and spreads the coolness within. Let me have the darshan of the beloved and remove the separation which is tormenting me day and night. Without your darshan, my soul is empty. My life, worth millions, is going on uselessly.
Darsha Piyada Palava Me Tera Vichoda Talava ve menurata dine tare panda tere dare shabina jinda to tarive mera lakada jivan janda dare shapiada palava me tera vichoda Talava ve menurata dine tare panda Tere dare shabina jindahato taribe mera lakada jivan janda dare shapiada palava vevicherina guru sacha toliya vejindagida moka jodiya vevicherina guru sacha toliya Vejindagida, moka jodia. Una chada ke juti, riti ve akarle sachi. Priti ve una chada ke juti, riti ve Akarle sachi pritive mane aaj bajanai anda tere darsha bina jinda to tarive mera lakada jivan janda darsha piada palava Me tera vichoda, talama me menurata dine tare panda, tere dare shabina jindahato, tarive mera lakada jivan janda, dare shapiada palava. Vemiliahe, jama in sanedaha, veja vena, vela namda. Vemiliahe, jama in sanedaha veja vena vela namda eh jindagi ratana molave bakodia dena tolave E jindagi ratana molave bako diya dena tolave katela kiyo sharemanda tere darsha bina jindahato tarive mera lakada jivan janda Daresha piada palava me tera vichoda talava me menurata dine tare panda tere daresha bina jindahato tarive mera lakada jivan janda daresha piada palava veya vitu sata sanga karele vemokahe sacharanga chardele veya vitu sapta sanga karele vemokahe sacharanga chadele Hunerab sababa nayave eson samati yayave. Hunerab sababa nayave eson samati yayave. Pirabela bita da janda. Tere darsha bina jindahato tarive mera lakada jivan janda. Darsha piyada palava me tera vichoda. Talava ve menurata dine tare panda. Tere darsha bina jindahato tarive mera lakada jivan janda. Darsha piyada palava vesantada vesantada nama uncha ho geya vejapadajo sucha ho geya vesantada vesantada nama uncha ho geya vejapadajo sucha ho geya ajaiva di deka pritive kirpala nerakia kitive ajaiva di deka pritive kirpala nerakia kitive atanda kaleje panda tere dare shabina jindahato tarive mera lakada jivan janda dare shapiada palava me tera vichoda talava ve menurata dine tare panda tere darsha bina jindahato tarive mera lakada jivan janda darsha piyada palava.
The nam of the saints has become high. He who meditates on it becomes pure. Looking at the love of Ajab, Kirpal protected him. He comes and spreads the coolness within. Come and do the satsang. This is the opportunity. Dye yourself in the true color. Now God has made this arrangement. You have got this beautiful time, and time is passing. May God bless us all.